Good morning, everyone. My name is Nancy LaCroix. I have the privilege of reading God's Word with you this morning. If you would want to open your Word, or you can find a Bible in front of you there, we're going to be reading from John 14, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 12 through 17. Follow along as we listen to Jesus, who is bringing comfort to his disciples. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 12. Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or helper to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. This is the word of God. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your word of truth, for new life in Christ, and for giving us the Spirit, our helper forever. We recognize that the world doesn't see him and doesn't know him. So show us who do love you how to abide in him, so that the lives we live, the choices we make, as we journey through this life, bring you praise and glory. Allow us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of you every day. Lord, I pray for Jim as he shares with us what you have shared with him. Would you open our ears and our hearts to your voice? We love you, King Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a blessing to have your wife pray for you. Good morning. My name is Jim LaCroix, and I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Church. This morning, Pastor Matthew is on a well-deserved vacation in Minnesota, spending some time with his family there. So I have the privilege of speaking this morning. The good news, the gospel, plus safety, plus time equals a gentle environment where anyone can grow one step closer to Jesus. Our pathways to growth, the Sunday morning gathering, learning environments, community, and connection. We hope that if you attend Grace Church on a regular basis, or if you watch online on a regular basis, that you've heard these words before. It's our mission statement and our action plan. But here's the reality. I believe there's probably a lot of people that have heard these words, but they're not really clear on, well, do they really apply to my life? How do they really apply to my life? So my hope today is I have three hopes that I've been praying for. One, I hope that when you leave here today, you'll have a better understanding, a clearer understanding about all of this. My second hope is that you would really, truly understand that it is really, really important for you and I. And again, I have been praying that you would be encouraged this morning, that you can actually grow closer to God. No matter where you are in your relationship right now, you can grow closer and experience more of his love and his goodness and his grace and his peace. One of the key responsibilities of the elders in a church is knowing who in our church family is growing spiritually. And also, we are to be knowing who is struggling. And as one of the elders in this church, I know this is something we would really like to get better at. The mission statement and the action steps are meant to help us accomplish this goal. We truly want all of us, to be followers, biblical followers of Jesus Christ, knowing him deeper and deeper and practicing the ways that he teaches. A Bible verse that makes me uneasy at times is Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And this is Jesus, the Son of God, speaking. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' And then Jesus says, 'I'm going to announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" Man, this teaches that many are going to be surprised on that day and not welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And I'll be honest, I pray at times, "Lord, help this not be me." And I pray for our church family. Man, may this not be the case for anyone in our church family. Man, I practiced and I never cried. Sorry. But man, I just pray, "Lord, let this not be for anyone in our church family." Then I read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders." And leaders in this context is church leaders. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So as I look at this, it says, like, if you're not a pastor or an elder, yeah, work with your pastors and elders as they try to work with you to help you grow one step closer to Jesus. But the reason I put this verse in here is it clearly teaches that pastors and elders will give an account to God on how we did as leaders to help our church family grow closer to Jesus Christ. That's a serious thing. So our mission statement and our plan of action is really, really important. It's important because it is our effort to help you. And to be honest, it is our effort to help us. Because our goal is that all of us, would be able to experience the grace and love of God for eternity. So that's the why behind our mission statement. We need to help one another in our journey. So the good news, the gospel, plus safety, plus time, equals a gentle environment where anyone can grow one step closer to Jesus. And I want to talk first about this environment that we're striving for, that we're praying for. And to be clear, we're asking you to help us in this. We really want it to be a gentle environment where there's safety and time. And when we say time, we just mean a generous, healthy patience with one another. But when I hear those words, it makes me think of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart." Another version says, "I am gentle, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Man, our culture today is the exact opposite of this, isn't it? The norm is not gentle. It is not humble. It is to be harsh to one another. It's not safe right now. That's not our culture. It's either like be super guarded and don't trust anyone or just come out on the attack. That's normal right now. And the norm is not patience with one another, right? We want instant gratification. We want immediate results. We expect it. Grace Church, that's our name, right? That's our name, Grace Church. King Jesus, help us to be an environment that reflects your grace. I love this small definition of grace. It says, God's favor, God's abundant love towards the unworthy. I'm unworthy. Anyone else unworthy? Man, may we be a place that receives God's grace well and also extend it well to other people. So we use these words safety and time. Safety, we have the good news plus safety plus time. What do we mean when we say safety and time? Well, Pastor Matthew has written out what we mean, and it's on our website. I'm going to read it to you. When we say safety, we mean a non-accusing environment, no embarrassing anyone, no manipulation, no oppression, but respect, sympathy, and understanding, where sinners can confess and unburden their souls. A church environment where no one seeking the Lord has anything to fear. When we say time, this is what we mean. No pressure. Not even self-imposed pressure, where most of the pressure comes from. No deadlines on growth. Urgency, yes, because our days are short. But not hurry, because no one changes quickly. We want to create a lot of space and a lot of time for complicated people. That's you. That's me. For complicated people to rethink their lives at a deep level. And here's the truth. God is patient. Now let me be clear. We know we're not perfect in creating a gentle environment. Man, I'm seeing it over and over again, and it is so encouraging to me. But then I see times when we fail or I fail. And it hurts because we know this is not God's intention for his church. So we know we're not perfect. We'll probably never be perfect. But man, we are striving and we are praying that we would become this gentle environment where there's an abundance of safety in time, patience with one another. So let me kind of transition now to talk about the good news, the gospel, and our pathways to growth, because these two things are actually very connected. So first, let's just talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? Mark chapter 1 says this. I just want to read the first sentence, then we're going to stop for a second. The first sentence says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you ever wondered, like, where is a good place in Scripture to look for a definition of the gospel? Well, this seems like it's a pretty good spot to start. But I hope you didn't read the second line yet, because I think a lot of us assume, oh, I know what's going to come next. And actually what comes next is, I think, a little bit unexpected. Because this is what it says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Wait, what? That was like 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. But that's where the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ started. So what does this prophet Isaiah say? He says, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. So when this was prophesied, they didn't know about John the Baptist, right? They didn't know Jesus' name yet. But 700 years earlier, it's being prophesied. And now, verse 4, he starts, the author is writing, hey, this prophecy came true. So let's read. John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John wore a camel hair garment and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. The dude lived differently, right? He lived differently. But this is what he proclaimed. One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the writer of the book of Mark is saying this has come true. The voice crying in the wilderness has come. So now let's drop down to verse 14. And it says, after John was arrested, so some time has gone by, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Do you want to hear from Jesus what the gospel is, what the good news is? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe the good news. So what is the good news? What is the good news? The kingdom of God has come to earth. King Jesus, the Lord, the long-awaited Messiah, has come to earth, and he's ushering in the kingdom of God. That is the good news. And then Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. This is God's invitation to all of us to join his kingdom, to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. To be clear, the invitation is wide. It's for everyone. It is for everyone. Now, the path to follow him is narrow, but the invitation is wide open. Repent and believe. Okay, I'm going to be starting to talk about this critical 1-2 punch. Now, I don't know if everyone knows what a 1-2 punch is. Is that an old saying? I don't know. 1-2 punch is like a boxing term, like one punch, two punch, they go to sleep, right? So there's this critical 1-2 punch that Jesus teaches over and over again in the Bible if we truly want to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ, if we truly want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. The first punch is gaining knowledge and understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit, gaining understanding. The second punch is taking action, letting the Holy Spirit form you, transform you. Now, quick side note. It's only through God's grace and God's power alone that we are saved. All right? End of side note. End of side note. Just quick. Jesus says, repent and believe. Now, to believe in something, you have to have knowledge and understanding of that thing, okay? Like, if you are wise, you're not just going to believe in something and give your life to something unless you gain a certain level of understanding and knowledge and trust in that thing. So once we are given understanding, again, through the Holy Spirit, we're given understanding, then we are to take action, to believe that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So the one punch is understanding, okay? Then the second punch is taking action, believing. And then it says we are also to repent. Repent literally means you're walking one way in your life and you turn and you go a new direction. That's what repenting means. So through the help and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we gain this new understanding. And we turn and we're to walk in a different direction, follow the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life. There's the 1-2 punch, right? Gaining new understanding and taking action, going in a new direction. Repent. Repent. We're walking this way. We have to acknowledge we are sinful. We are rebellious. And ask Jesus for forgiveness through the blood he shed on the cross. Then we ask him to lead us in a new direction. Take action on this understanding that he has given to us. I heard a quote recently that's really been sticking with me, and I want to share it with you. Being formed is very different than being informed. Being formed as a person is very different than being informed as a person. Now, to be clear, both of these things are very good. They're just very different. They're very different. With my kids, my two daughters, and with students I've been working with for over a decade, man, I often try to help them understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. The difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just knowing a lot of stuff, right? Knowing a lot of information. And I am astonished how much some people can remember and know and recall. I'm like, wow, that is impressive. And again, to be clear, that knowledge is not bad. Wisdom is different, though. And I would argue so much better. Wisdom is gaining knowledge, but then it's taking the next critical step, and it's putting knowledge into action in your life. The scripture talks about practicing wisdom. And practicing wisdom is a person that lives out what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Do you see the 1-2 punch there? The first thing is you need to know what is right in the eyes of the Lord. But that isn't wisdom. Wisdom is actually living it out. Living out what is right in the eyes of the Lord. So I think God wired all of us to deeply desire to be a wise person, to be a person of wisdom. Because what is the opposite of being wise? Foolish. It's a fool, right? And, you know, students joke, I'm like, who in here wants to be a fool? No, nobody wants to be a fool. I believe that Jesus, that God has wired us that way. Now, I want to say this as clear as possible. There's a big difference between knowing a lot of information about Jesus and versus knowing a lot about Jesus and having a deep desire to be changed, to be transformed, to live differently. It's the 1-2 punch. All right. Okay, let's hear the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. This is what Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the world, says. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine. So stop right there for a second. When we hear words, I think the thought is we're getting knowledge. And we're getting understanding. For everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. So the acts on them, again, the 1-2 punch is understanding. The second punch was like acting on that, right? Letting it form you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What is the rock? Again, understanding, taking action, being formed by that understanding. The rain fell and the rivers rose. The winds blew and founded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Listen to this. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Are you guys starting to see there's a big difference between being informed and being formed? Nancy read John 14. Man, it's a beautiful chapter of Scripture. But Jesus clearly says in that, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. There it is, the 1-2 punch, understanding and action. Think about the warning in Matthew 21 I read earlier when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the 1-2 punch again, knowing God, understanding who God is, and doing what he's called us to do. What is Jesus' most famous sermon? It's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. What is he teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? He wants us to understand clearly that if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, you should be living your out in a certain way where you're going to receive blessings from God. So again, what is it? It's the 1-2. Understand how we are supposed to be living. Take action. Live it out. So how does all of this connect with our strategy? Well, again, we want us to be clear on what this 1-2 punch is. We want to gain understanding and take action on it. So when we look at this a math formula. When we look at this formula, that's what I'm looking for. We say gospel plus safety plus time. When we say gospel, what do we mean? What do we mean? It means two things. To gain a deeper understanding of the gospel. That's the first thing. This is the entire good news that we receive from God. So when we say the gospel, one, understanding the gospel. Two, living out the gospel. We want to help everyone live out the gospel. It's the 1-2 punch. So, how do we put all this into action and practice? Well, that's why we have these pathways to growth. There's three pathways to growth. And by the way, it isn't like, hey, pick your favorite one, or just pick two out of the three. We actually believe, like, if you actually want to grow, you need to be engaging in all three of these pathways to growth. The first one is the Sunday morning gathering. Confession. When I was younger, I did not understand clearly how important it is to gather on Sunday mornings. I didn't understand how important it was for my spiritual formation. And it is so important, you guys. And actually, Scripture demands it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Man, this week I have fallen in love with these verses. They're beautiful. It says, and let us consider one another. So just stop there for a second. Let us think about one another. Man, we are good in our culture about thinking about ourselves. This scripture says that. Let us actually think about one another. And what that means is like one another in this room. Let us consider one another in order to provoke love, to love one another, to provoke good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Of a community of people coming together, thinking of one another, actually caring for one another. Why? To provoke love, to love one another, to do good works together, to encourage one another. The Sunday morning gathering is just not all about excellent teaching. That sounds bad when I'm teaching, but it's not just about excellent teaching and getting more biblical knowledge and understanding. That is a critical part of Sunday mornings, is growing in our knowledge and understanding. But it's also about being loved and encouraged, and also loving and encouraging other people. Not too long ago, like when you'd look at statistics, they would tell you, well, the average churchgoer goes so many times a month, right? And like even 4 or 5 years ago, they would say the average church attendance for a person is 3 times per month, a regular church attender. Post-COVID, they now define that as a regular church attender goes 1-point-something times per month, so under 2 times per month. So do the math really, really quickly here. Man, do you think you're more likely to grow closer to God if you're attending a healthy Bible-teaching church 12 times per year or 30 or 40 times per year? You guys, we are so blessed to have a gifted teacher in Pastor Matthew. We are. His study habits are crazy. He studies so much. And his God-given desire and to understand Scripture and to explain the Scriptures is really extraordinary. He's really, really blessed at it. Sit under his teaching. Take notes. Ask so many questions. Ask questions. But don't miss the opportunity to learn and to grow at the Sunday morning gathering. I think it's so important for our growth. The second pathway to growth is learning environments. This is kind of the first punch of the 1-2 punch, right? Learning environments. Growing in our understanding of the Scriptures. Growing in our understanding who God is. And what did Jesus care about? What did he mean by what he said? Grow in our understanding. We always want to be providing classes and resources, point you to podcasts or books. Man, we should be wanting to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. That's what this second pathway to growth is. The third pathway to growth, gross, growth is the second punch in the 1-2. And again, that's taking action. Taking action, being excited about the this leadership of the Holy Spirit, seeking Him out and following what He's leading you to do. And we call this third pathway community and connection. Now, some of you may know that I am in the midst of a responsibility change here at Grace Church. I'm moving from youth pastor to an associate pastor that's overseeing the administration of our church. But I'm also going to be looking over this third pathway to growth that we call community. Our church family took a survey a little over 3 years ago, and there were probably many of you that took that survey. And the results of that survey showed that compared to a couple thousand churches in the United States, we were considered a very healthy church. Way to go. Good news. But there were two things that came out of that were really, really important that our church family said, hey, we value this greatly. We think we need to continue working on it and putting resources into it. One of the things that popped up is people really want to be known, loved, and cared for. Man, people want to be known, loved, and cared for. I'm in that bucket. And again, as a church grows, we used to be about 100. There's probably 500-ish in our area that would call this their home church. It can be hard. People start, falling through the cracks, and we do not want that. We do not want that. So anyhow, that's one thing we said as a church family, we want to put a lot of resources behind that. Secondly, what came out is we want a better communication and education, how we can each use our skills and abilities to serve. To serve in the church and in the community. So these two things are going to be one of the main focuses of my new role. Our desire is that everyone in this church family, would be known and be loved and cared for. A good question is, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, first of all, I just want to state the obvious. It's impossible for me to do that alone. And it's impossible for just our elders, seven of us, to do that alone, because we can't love and know and care for 500 people at the level we really want to do that at. So we need your help. We really, really need your help. What I'm going to start working on is to create a lot of different environments and places and spaces for people just to get to know each other better. And we hope as people get to know each other better that they will, through the work of the Holy Spirit, love and care for one another better. I love what our women's ministry team has been doing over the past couple months. It's really a great example to what we're trying to accomplish. Some ladies in our church recognized that since COVID, we really haven't had a strong men's or women's ministry. So some ladies in the church came to Pastor George and I and said, hey, can we help get this started again? We're like, yes, that would be amazing. And these ladies recognized something important really, really quickly, that women inside our church and actually in our community were all longing for some good Christ-centered friendships and relationships. Now, to be clear, many of these ladies were already in good learning environments. They were in good Bible studies, but they were longing. They were longing just to have some fun and laughter with some other ladies in town, some love and encouragement, again, away from the learning environment. And the results have really been fun and amazing. There's ladies that are like going on hikes and walks together now, gathering for coffee. They have a cooking group. They have all these different fun things going on. And again, there's laughter and being known and having fun with one another, right? That's a community. That's what it is, knowing what's going on in each other's life. We want to create more of this for all of our church family. Men, look up here for a second. This Saturday, we're having a pancake breakfast here. And it's not like a competition to see who can eat the most pancakes, although that might happen. Who knows? But it's all about just coming and hanging out, eating some food together, having some fun, and building some relationships. Maybe brainstorm on some things we can do, like go shoot something or something. Do something together, which is fun, right? Just to build relationships. So stay tuned. More to come on building community in our church family. Another thing I'm going to be working on is organizing and communicating to you all ways we can serve together inside our church and outside of our church. Over the next couple of months, I'm going to be meeting with all of our staff and volunteer leaders just to find out, like, where are some places we can plug people into and understand that better. I'm also planning to meet with leaders from the Granary, the Pregnancy Resource Center, Columbine Manor, the Winter Shelter, 5110 Ranch, our monthly community food distribution program, mentors, FYI, the Chaffee County Resource Center. There's just a lot of them, that, and there's more that I don't even know about, I'm sure. But what we'd like to do is create a good communication line with them where we can have regular communication to understand from them what help they could need and then communicate that to our church family. Man, when we serve together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's something so powerful about that. So we want to get better at doing that. All right, so more to come on that too. One last thing, and then I'm going to close here. The last couple of years, with the help of a friend of mine, I've created for myself something called a soul care plan. A soul care plan. And this is where I just spend some time praying and thinking with my friends just about what are those things, those critical things in my life I must be doing on a regular basis so I can feel close to Jesus, to consistently feel his power and his presence in my life. Now, to be clear, this is not a complicated thing. I don't want it to be intimidating. What happens, the output of this is literally a half a sheet of paper, maybe 3/4 of a sheet of paper, a couple Bible verses, and maybe 10, 12 bullet points. And again, it just takes a little time to sit down and think and pray about these things. What are the things where it helps me to feel the power and the presence of God that I need to be doing to do that? And again, I think you guys probably know, oh, I know what's on the list. You don't know what's on the list. You know some of the things on the list, like reading scripture and praying, intentionally meeting with a brother that can help keep me accountable and just encourage me. But there's some things on that, like you just need to take some time, because one of the things that helps me to feel the power and the presence is like hiking, going on a hike 3 or 4 times a week. There's something about it where I feel his power and presence and brings, like just brings my heart back into communion with him. One thing that I'm embarrassed to have on there, but it's like to pursue my wife. You know, that should be natural. It should be something easy. But sometimes I get so busy. And again, I feel the power and the presence of my Lord and Savior when we're doing well together. Nancy and I, we love to have fun with our friends. We love to laugh. So I put that on there, like once a week, we need to get together with friends just to laugh, to know them, to love them, to be known, to be loved. So there's a lot of that stuff on there. But here's our offer. Here's what I would love to offer you this morning. Would you like help creating a soul care plan for your life? It's something we update occasionally. But if you would like help, we would like to help you in that. If you would like help in that, please reach out and contact me, contact Pastor George. We're actually going to have some members of our care team up here after church too. And if you would like to just say, hey, I would be interested in that, we'll just get your name and your number, and we will contact you and talk to you about that. All right, worship team, if you guys would come up, that would be awesome. So here's part of my soul care plan right now. I have a big desire to cut down on my scrolling in my screen time. So I'm intentionally doing a couple things differently in my life. And I don't know why I'm sharing this. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit figure that out. But one of the things that I've been trying to do is I've kind of figured out that a lot of my, like, worst scrolling time is like before I go to bed at night, like 8 to 10. I don't know why. It's just like the best times I'm spending it with Nancy, but the screen time, I'm just trying to cut it out of my life a little bit. So I've been starting to do this. I'm actually going to bed earlier just because And when I go to bed earlier, you know what I find out? I can get up earlier. It's a weird thing. It's like they're related or something. But but I've been getting up earlier, and all I do is I read, and I pray, and I watch the sun hit the mountains. It's good for my soul. Another thing I'm doing, I'm trying to train myself to abide in Christ more. Jesus says we are to abide in him. The earlier followers of Christ, they abided, they had this habit of singing or reciting the Psalms, right? Or singing or reciting scripture throughout their day. So I've been trying to do this in the simplest of ways. Psalm 51, I'm not going to read it. It's a beautiful psalm. I challenge you to read it this week. But for years, there's been this, God has put this simple song in my heart called Create in Me a Clean Heart. And it's from Psalm 51. And man, when I feel anxiety, when I feel stress, I run to this song and I sing it. Or I just, if I'm in a crowd, I don't sing it. But I remember it. I remember it. I think of it. And one of the things I'm doing now is if I start thumbing on my phone, I'm training myself, stop. Stop. And just sing this. Think this. So we're going to end my portion with singing the song. Hey, you guys, if I can memorize it, you guys can memorize it. It's not hard. You can find it online. Create in me a clean heart. So let's stand, and we're going to sing this together, and I challenge you, like, if there's something in your life you would like to be doing less of, try to replace it with this. And then when we're done singing this song, we're going to partake in communion together. Mm-hmm.